Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I'm going to ask you to look around for a minute. I'm not talking about looking at your neighbors. I'm talking bigger than that. Just look around and think about the world for a minute. Think about what goes on in our culture and society. Think about what goes on in politics. I don't know much anymore. I don't watch the news. It's just good for my health. Think about what goes on in our own personal lives. Think about what goes on in our relationships. My guess, it won't take you too long to realize that things aren't perfect. They just aren't. I wish I could be a Joel Osteen type and tell you with a smile on my face made from Botox that your world's going to be just fine if you believe hard enough. Or that if you pray hard enough, you're going to have a perfect life and everything will be great. But I can't tell you that. That would be a lie. What I can tell you is we live in an imperfect, fallen world. And that Satan, who is the prince of this world, is alive and well. You know, very often in our lives today, too often, people have been fooled by the evil one into thinking that the root cause for the battles we face in our lives are other people, are our relationships, are our enemies, are our diseases, are our illnesses, or whatever else you can fill in to that blank. Let me read that again. All too often, the enemy today has fooled us into thinking that the root cause for the battles and trials and struggles we face in our world are people's, enemies, relationships, illness, sickness, trials, tribulations, things, fill in the blank. But the root is much deeper than that. The root is much deeper than that, and because Satan has pulled the wool over many of our eyes and does it so easily to any one of us, sometimes we don't see it. And St. Paul is very clear in his message to us today that the root for the evil we experience in our world, the problems for the relationship struggles that we have, all of this stems to one thing. It is the root of the evil one himself working in our lives. It is the work of Satan seeking to destroy our world and God's design for it. Remember, we've talked about God's design before. It's the theology of the cross. The vertical realm represents our relationship with God, and the horizontal realm, our relationship with each other. The reality is, when God made us, he created two holes in our hearts. We talked about this in my counseling program, and I never really thought of it this way, but it fits into the theology of the cross so well. Dr. John Townsend says that we have two holes in our hearts. We have a God-shaped hole in our heart, and we have a people-shaped hole in our heart. That God-shaped hole in our heart is filled by God with his love and his grace and his forgiveness and his word and his sacrament and all the other good and wonderful gifts that God gives us. But there's a people-shaped hole in our heart too. And for some reason, it's easier for Satan to attack the people-shaped hole than it is the God-shaped hole. It's easier for him to destroy the relationships that God has given us in our lives and to destroy the beautiful relationship that is to reflect his relationship with us. Because ultimately, as he destroys the people-shaped hole in our heart, the relationships we have with each other, it also goes into destroying our relationship with him because it has negative consequences on the faith journey and faith walk that we have. When Satan destroys those relationships, it causes chaos, bitterness, gossip, hate, shame, and pain to enter our lives. St. Paul clearly states in our lesson for today that our battle is not against each other. Our battle isn't against each other. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the evil one who is the prince of this world. Think about it with me for a minute. When we get mad, when we get hurt, when we get upset, I know for me the first thing to do in my male sinful pride is to get mad at the person in front of me and to take it out on them. When we do not like a politician or any other leader that governs It's real easy to say negative, hurtful, and gossipy things about them. St. Paul says, pray for your leaders and treat them with respect even if you disagree with them. When things don't go our way, I don't know about you, but I like when things go my way. It's a much easier world when things go my way. But when they don't go my way, it sure is easy to get mad and bitter and upset about it. When in our families, whether that's our immediate family or our extended family, conflict ensues. When we get the diagnosis from the doctor that we don't want. When a loved one dies. You see, my brothers and sisters, this is all the work of the evil one in our world. This is all the work of the prince of this world, Satan, trying his hardest to destroy us, trying his hardest to destroy our relationship, our bond in Christ, trying his hardest to destroy the church so that when people look at the church from the outside, they no longer see it as a safe place and a loving place, but they see it filled with people who are angry and bitter and hurt. But this is exactly what Satan wants. Because if he can destroy our relationships with each other, he can destroy our relationships with God. This is the work of the evil one. And sometimes it seems, I don't know about you, but sometimes it seems as Satan works in my life, it's just like, can I catch a break? Do you ever feel that way? Can't I just catch a break? How in this world where imperfection and evil exist do we, as God's people, live day to day in the love and assurance of our baptism, his forgiveness, and his grace? That's a good question, isn't it? So I'm going to end the sermon there and let you figure it out. No, I'm just joking. How in this world where imperfection exists do we as God's people live day to day in the love and the assurance and the baptism and the forgiveness and the grace that God gives us? Well, the answer is very clear. St. Paul says, put on the full armor of God. Stand firm with the belt of truth around your waist. Now, I don't know about you, but a belt is a very important piece of clothing, especially for men, especially as we get older and our tummies start hanging over. A belt is very important to hold that tummy up so our pants do not fall down. We do not like to expose ourselves in public. That could be a very bad thing. Standing firm with a belt of truth wrapped around our waist gives us the assurance that God's truth is with us. And here's the reality of God's truth and what we forget sometimes. God's truth, and we're going to talk about this in a minute again with the sword, God's truth is both law and gospel. God's truth is the word. God's truth is Jesus Christ. The reality is we don't like to hear the law. I've preached sermons before that were law-oriented, and people get mad. How dare you preach the law to me, Pastor? Because we don't want to hear it. Who likes the law? That's the work of Satan. Because Satan doesn't want us to believe that we're sinners. He doesn't want us to believe that we all, including me, need to hear the law. Because after all, I'm righteous in my own decision and my own actions. But that's part of the truth as well. But then there's the gospel part of the truth that comes in and says you're forgiven, you're saved, you're redeemed, you're loved by God. And it's not the law that motivates you to do good, but it's the gospel and the work of Jesus Christ that motivates you to change your life and live to the glory of God. This is the belt of truth. And as long as we wear this belt of truth, we can navigate the waters of Satan's trials and temptations, knowing the difference between what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil, what is being a sinner and what is being a saint. It's important to wear the belt of truth with a breastplate of righteousness in place. You see, that breastplate of righteousness guards our hearts, our souls. And that breastplate of righteousness is needed to guard our hearts and souls so that our identity in God may be preserved and protected. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Our identity in Christ is crucial. We cannot make it in this world of shame and sin and guilt and attacks if we do not know, realize, and celebrate every day that we are God's loved, redeemed children. That happens in the waters of baptism as God makes us his children. When we live in that identity, we can ward off the arrows of the evil one. When we live in that identity, we can relish in the love of the gospel that Jesus has for us. When we live in that identity, pride, self-pity, anger, and bitterness will go away. Because in the identity of being a child of God, there is only joy, forgiveness, love, hope, kindness, and compassion. Celebrating that identity, wearing that breastplate of righteousness is so crucial because it guards the heart, it guards the soul from where Satan wants to attack. He says, with feet readied from the gospel of love, peace, and kindness. I don't know about you, but I'm a sinner. And sometimes when I get mad at people or upset at people, the first thing I want to do is use my feet to go, what can I say to be mean? Or in Texas, what can I do and then say, God bless their heart? Right? But St. Paul says today, in order to combat Satan, we have to have feet readied with the message of the gospel. And what that means is that even when people come at us, and when even Satan comes at us, and even when the arrows fly, we have to have feet, all of us, readied with the gospel of love, kindness, forgiveness, compassion. That instead of running to hurt a brother, runs to love them, to share the gospel, to build them up, to walk with them gently, to lead them into righteousness. And that's a lesson we can all learn. It's a lesson we can all learn. It reminds me of St. Paul saying how beautiful are the feet of those who bear good news. With the shield of faith that extinguishes the fiery arrows of the evil one. Well, how awesome is that, that we carry a shield every day. We're surrounded by this shield. We're saying a mighty fortress is our God. If we really want to think about it, we have this fortress around us. God is our shield. He is our protector. That's one of the things God the Father does for us. And as Satan shoots his fiery darts at us, as he shoots his arrows of negativity and hatred and bullies and shame and fear into our lives, when we are fully protected with this wonderful, wonderful shield of protection that only God the Father can give us, those things will bounce off of us. And then with feet readied with the gospel and a breastplate of righteousness, we can run to those people who hurt us and wrap our arms around us and love them even more. Because what does Jesus say about love? What does he say? It covers over a multitude of sins. Love truly heals. Love truly repairs. Love truly changes the kingdom. And he says, put on the helmet and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The helmet and the sword, the word gets two, right? Well, you know, you got to put on the helmet because I don't know about you, but I bump my head a lot. I need a helmet. I should probably wear one all the time. I think I knock a little bit of intelligence out every time I do. I'm so clumsy. But the reality is, what's he talking about? A lot of our knowledge of the gospel is here. As much as we have gospel here, a lot of it is here. Because the heart and the head work together. And keeping the gospel here will keep us out of the logical brain. You see, Satan uses the logical brain. This is what God says. This is what Luther talks about. Satan uses the logical brain. It's the logical brain that says, when you hurt me, I'm going to hurt back. It's the logical brain that says, if things don't go my way, this is what I'm going to do. It's the logical brain that gets hurt more deeply, actually, than the emotional brain, and that causes us to act in sinfulness. So that gospel helmet keeps our mind wrapped in the love of God, in the gospel message of salvation, with the sword. And the sword is a double-edged sword. Going back to what we talked about earlier, there's two sides to that sword with the Word of God. There's both law and gospel. Once again, none of us like to hear the law. Do we need the law? Yes. But what also do we need to follow the law? The gospel. The law prepares the way for us to hear the gospel. And as Lutherans, we believe that law is not properly used and gospel not properly used if they're not used as one and the same. How powerful that is. To know that armed with the helmet and the sword of the Word of God, we can conquer the kingdom, not for us, but for Jesus. Changing hearts and lives so that people who are bound for hell, who are broken in illness, who are dying without knowing Jesus, can come to the wonderful knowledge and salvation of Jesus Christ, their Savior. In the midst of these battles, we have great assurance and a great call. Jesus is with us. We can rest assured that no matter what the battle that Satan puts in our life, Jesus is with us. He assures us this in Romans chapter 8 when he says, "Nothing in all creation, neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither life or death itself, can ever separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord." He assures us that as he calls himself our good shepherd. He assures us that as he says, "I walk with you always." He assures us of that as he says to us over and over again, "Lo, I am with you to the very end of the age." We cannot navigate this world of trials and temptations and bitterness and hatred and all the fiery arrows of Satan without the fact of knowing, believing, trusting, and accepting and celebrating that Jesus is by our side in victory, loving us no matter what. Even when we fail, even when we screw up, even when we make mistakes, Jesus still wraps his arms around us with overwhelming love and lifts us up so that we may live to the glory of God our Father for the kingdom. We have great assurance and call in knowing that our salvation is secure. We are going to heaven. Hear this now. Satan will do anything he can in your life with his arrows and his weapons to cause you to doubt that you are going to heaven. Hear this now and plainly. Jesus has died for you. Jesus has risen for you. You have been baptized into his name. You receive his sacrament. There is no doubt at all in any part of this world or in your mind, you are going to heaven. Even now, God is preparing a place for you. Rejoice in that knowledge, rejoice in that salvation, and share the love and joy and compassion that comes from that truth. We have great assurance and a great call that our forgiveness in God, in Jesus, is complete. We know without any doubt that when God the Father looks at us, he no longer sees our sinfulness, but sees us as righteous and forgiven because he sees Jesus himself. Listen to that. When God the Father looks at you, he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. Readied with the armor of God and this knowledge. And in this, we are called, St. Paul says, to pray and live in the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, that is not easy to do. Sanctification is a process, and it is a hard process to live in. It is a hard process to live in because we live in a world that is fallen, and sometimes we get trapped in that fallen world. But we are called to pray and live in the Spirit, to be people of love, peace, and compassion. Imagine for one moment how different your world would be around you if today you stood with God and humbly asked him, and me too, to help us live and to pray in his Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.